And so we hear, when they all saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. That's astounding, I think. I think it's one of the most intriguing statements in the Bible. You know, we're at the ascension, just before the risen Christ ascends into heaven. St. Paul tells us that there were about 500 people there, and they worshiped, but they doubted. Who doubted? The apostles who saw him many times over 40 days? Maybe just some of those 500 disciples who saw Jesus only briefly, or maybe this is the first time, just before he ascends into heaven. Why did they doubt? How could they possibly doubt after all that they had seen and heard? Because of the feast that we celebrate today, the Feast of the Blessed Trinity. Throughout his public ministry, Jesus said that God was his Father, and that he and the Father were one. And now, looking at the glorified body of Jesus before the ascension, the disciples are encountering the mystery of God. Let's see, the Father is God, and the Son is God, but there's only one God. Oh, and later we'll learn that the Holy Spirit's God. Of course they doubted. No amount of time would have removed all the doubts. They are trying to break out of their normal three-dimensional way of thinking. They worship because they are standing before Jesus, who might have appeared to them at that time like he appeared to Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration. They are not there looking at a mere human being who had come back from the dead. Nobody was going around worshiping Lazarus after Jesus raised him from the dead, because people worship God. In the year 382, Pope Damasus sent a document to the Council of Rome, which was a church council that was fighting against false teachings about this mystery of God as Trinity. And one passage from the Pope says, "Anyone who denies that the Son of God is true God, as the Father is true God, and denies that the Son can do all things, knows all things, and is equal to the Father, is a heretic." Now, it's important for us to have these statements and these definitions about the nature of God, but we mustn't be foolish to think that now we understand everything because we have these statements. The disciples at the ascension observed Jesus, the risen Christ, with their own eyes, and they worshiped, but they doubted. It's important that we understand something about mysteries. A mystery isn't something that it's incapable of explanation. Rather, a mystery is a truth that is so deep and so vast that we can only understand a part of it. And because this mystery relates to God, it's to our benefit to explore and pray about and contemplate this mystery of the Trinity. Another passage from Pope Damasus: "Anyone who denies that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have one Godhead, one majesty, one power, one kingdom, is a heretic." Do you have doubts? That's okay. You should. The fact that God became man, died on a cross, rose from the dead is a lot to comprehend. You know, if it had not been foretold for centuries throughout the scriptures, it probably would have been too much for the disciples to comprehend. But here they were, and here was Jesus. Some had seen him many times over 40 days, others perhaps only a few times or just this once. Who could have expected it? But something else unexpected happens at the ascension. In Luke's account of the ascension, we read, "They did him homage," in other words, they worshiped him, "but then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God." Pope Benedict XVI says, "This conclusion should surprise us." Luke is saying that the disciples are full of joy now that the Lord has left them forever. Now that he has departed, they're happy. We should expect the opposite. We should expect them to be dismayed and sad. Because the world wasn't changed as far as they can see with their eyes. And yet Jesus was gone from their sight. But they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and praised God. How are we to understand this? If the disciples are joyful, then it follows that they are not abandoned, and they know that they are not abandoned. They're not acting as though Jesus has disappeared into an inaccessible heaven. Yes, he's God, and this is why they worshiped. But this is also their dear friend, their teacher, their master. This person to whom they were so close was still the same person as he was before the crucifixion, but with a glorified body. You know, Protestants talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus, and we should too. But we can also have a personal relationship with the Father, you know, our Father who art in heaven. And we can have that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit as well. Again, back to Pope Damasus. Anyone who denies that there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal, living eternally, containing all things, is a heretic. The disciples who are filled with joy are obviously convinced that there is a new presence of Jesus. Ascension doesn't mean that Jesus went off to some part of the cosmos. It means an ongoing closeness that the disciples experience so strongly that it becomes a source of lasting joy. A mystery isn't something that we're incapable of describing. Rather, it's a mystery is something that's so true, it's a truth that's so deep and so vast that we can only understand a small part of it. And so the disciples understand an important part of this mystery. And that's why they worshiped. But much of it is still beyond their comprehension. And so they doubted. Be content to allow the mystery of God and to God to be a mystery. Allow yourself to be astounded and yet joyful like those first disciples. At the ascension, even though Jesus is leaving them, they are convinced that there is a closeness with him. But Matthew's gospel today tells us that that closeness isn't just for those disciples. It's meant for us too, because at the ascension, Jesus assures us, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." How is that possible? Well, one way is through the coming of the Holy Spirit. Another way is through the church and her saints. A third, very, very powerful way is what we celebrate today. Because while teaching about the Eucharist in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" Brings us right back to the ascension in today's Gospel. Jesus is saying, would you still doubt that I am present in the Eucharist if you saw my glorified body ascend into heaven? Here they are. Here is the risen Christ with them. And they worshiped, but they doubted. Do you have doubts? Join the club. But don't let the doubts dictate the direction of your life. Break out of this narrow perspective that we base our lives only on what we can see and control. The Trinity is about the mystery of the person of God. The fact is that the Son of God became man. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, is now dwelling in each baptized person, and is truly present in the Eucharist. The truth is that we can have a personal relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The mystery of God is more than we will ever understand. No amount of time on earth will remove all doubts. But we are still safe to worship him and entrust ourselves to him. We are able to know the joy of those first disciples. As the risen Jesus said to Thomas, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." May that be your response to him as well.